When I was saved for just a few months, I remember I had left my job and I was looking for work. I was out of work for a while and I was just looking for a job, and I was willing to do any job. And I got a job as a cycle courier. How many know what a cycle courier is? Where you're riding around like a little sweaty guy. If you're a cycle courier here, I love you. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Jesus has got a job for you. But for me, you know, it wasn't something that it was desperate. I had to borrow someone's bike. I needed some money. I was with that. How many know it's better to work than just being on the dole? Amen. A healthy man doesn't belong on the dole. Anyway, that's another sermon. And so I did this job, and I remember the first week I was riding all over London. I was sweating, and I made about 30 pounds in 1 week, and I was like, no, I can't do this. And the guy said to me, no, the first week is always tough. You know, I was getting lost. I didn't know where I was going. And so he goes, the second week it will pick up. And so the second week, I think I made about 70 pounds that week, and I was like, and you know, I was getting lost, and the guy's shouting at me in the radio, where is the parcel? Where? And I hated it. And by the third week, what happened was, because it's dangerous, you're driving around on this bike, you're trying to deliver things. And so this lady pulled out in a car. And basically, she just cut me off. I flew over the car and just damaged my hand. My hand was mashed up, and so it was all swollen up. So I could no longer use my hand to actually hold the handlebars of the bike. And I remember the end of the day, I just about got home, and I rung up the guy. I said, listen, I can't do this no more. My hand is not working. My hand, you know, I just could not do it. What I'm going to speak about today is something that in the body of Christ, if you do not get a handle on this, it's going to disqualify you. God can no longer use you. Just like I couldn't use my hand, I couldn't do the job, I was disqualified. It was I didn't have the ability to do it. What we're going to speak about tonight is basically will hinder you from having the ability to be used by God or to do anything for God. And the Bible, what I'm preaching about is anger. And I'm going to go through these scriptures slowly. This is a teaching, preaching, holy. I pray that God gets a hold of some people here. Because I want to say this, and I say it with all soberness. If you do not get a hold of this, God cannot use you. God cannot use you. Let's read it in the scriptures. We read it last week, but this is part two. James 1 verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. How many remember we looked at that last week? How many of you have been listening quicker and speaking slower? Amen. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Five of you. The rest of you, you're backslidden. And we're going to get you saved tonight. Amen. And then it goes on and it says, slow to wrath. That is the word anger. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this message today would help us. I pray, Father, that this would be more than words. Lord, I do not seek to be entertaining. I do not seek, Father, to be appealing to the flesh, to deal, Father, just to minister to the soul. Father, I want to speak to the Spirit today. And Father, I cannot do this without your Holy Spirit. Father, I stand before you right now asking you, anoint this message. Help us, Father, that we would be able to crush this thing in our life that would have control, that would hinder us, that would, Father, stop us from being used by you. Father, most of all, magnify Jesus. Because, Father, if we see Jesus and we see him in all his glory, it will change us. And that's what we pray for. And God's people said with a loud, victorious voice, amen. We want to speak about anger. Now, let me just start by saying this. Anger is not all bad. Because the Bible says that even God God gets angry. Now, I had loads of scriptures, but because of time, I'm not going to go through that. You can study that in your own time. You can look into that. But the Bible shows us that God gets angry. There are many scriptures where it speaks about the wrath of God, the anger of God. God gets angry. But the difference is that God is perfect. You got to understand this, that God is perfect. And so God gets angry over certain things. God gets angry over sin. God gets angry over disobedience and idolatry. God gets angry when we treat one another bad. Did you know God gets angry over those things? And so the Bible shows us is that not all anger is bad. Even we see Jesus in the temple. When Jesus goes into the temple, where the temple, they've got the money changers, and the Bible says that he made a call to whip them out and he turned the tables over. Jesus got angry. But can I say to you today is that there is a difference between God's anger and our anger. See, the Bible says that, you know, it's really given us permission, is that if the things that get God angry get you angry, God says that's fine. You should get angry over people that, when you see people abusing people, you should get angry because it gets God angry. You should get angry when you see people abusing children. That should get you angry. When you see people hurting people, it should get you angry when you see people trying to destroy the church. Those things get God angry because the Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. And if you touch my bride, I'm going to be angry. Yes, sir. And so if you touch Christ's bride, God is angry. And we should get angry. But can I say to you today, that's as far as it goes for us. Is that whatever God gets angry should get us angry. Now how many know is that if your wife burns your dinner, God don't get angry? How many know God don't get angry over that? So that means what? You shouldn't get angry over that. How many know that if your husband comes home a bit late, God don't get angry over that? How many know if someone just steps on your toe a bit, God don't get angry over that? It's an accident. If someone cuts you up, God don't get angry over that. Yeah, I'm going there. You know some of you already today, you have to repent. See, there are many things that don't get God angry, that get us angry. But even, can I say this much, is that this is where anger stops. We can feel the anger, but God is showing us we cannot vent our anger. I can feel angry without it being a sin, but that's as far as it goes. See, God can act on his anger because he's perfect. Me and you can't act on our anger because we are corrupted. We are corrupted. We are sinners. The Bible says that we are broken. See, you must believe that before you can even come to Christ. Because if you believe that you're not broken, if you do not come to Christ and understand that you're broken, then Christ died in vain. Why did he die? See, he died because me and you are sinners. We're broken. And so when we mix your anger and my anger with our sin, the Bible says, you know what? With our sinfulness, we're not going to work the righteousness of God. Your anger cannot be allowed to have expression in your life. Yes. Let me repeat this. You and me, we cannot allow our anger to have expression in our life because we are broken. And so it's no good us saying, well, you know, God gets angry. God is perfect. We see anger in the Bible, even some of the greatest leaders of God that God's ever had. Well, should I say, one of the greatest leader we see that God ever had, outside of, you know, well, Jesus is God, so we don't count Jesus, Moses. But we see that Moses battled with anger. If you know the story of Moses in Genesis, Moses obviously grew up in Egypt with Pharaoh, privileged. He goes out, he sees an Egyptian beating one of his countrymen, a Hebrew. What does he do? He kills the Egyptian. That's anger. Do you know that was anger? He did that out of anger. He sees this man doing something, and so anger gets hold of him and he kills. And so we see from the very beginning, the conception of what Moses coming on the scene, we see a man who has an issue with anger. And God uses Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God uses Moses powerfully. But when you look at the end of Moses' life, what happens? God told him to speak to the rock that water would come out. When they had no water, God was going to do a miracle. But the Bible says because the people kept complaining and murmuring and doing things to Moses, that Moses lashed out, and rather than speaking to the rock, he gets the stick and he strikes the rock out of anger. Dare, take it, you rebels. And the Bible says that God says, listen, you're not coming into the promised land. You're not making it into the promised land. No. Moses, come on, Moses is a powerful man of God. God says, no, I can't bring that anger into the promised land. Moses, you've lost vision. You don't see the people the way you should see them anymore. You know when you start to just, when anger gets hold of you, you can no longer see what God sees anymore. See, when your anger takes control, you no longer see your children as your children anymore. When anger takes control, you no longer see your spouse as your spouse anymore. When anger takes control, you no longer see your family as your family anymore. And now anger has got you. You're doing things out of anger. God is like, I can't bring you in. You can't lead the people anymore, Moses. And because of his anger, Moses never entered into the promised land. Anger disqualified him. Can I say, if anger would disqualify Moses, who's powerful leader, what would it not do to us? The Bible says in our text, this anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Can I say, you cannot be used by God when you are given over to anger. You cannot be used. You cannot be used by God. Let me say that again. You cannot be used by God if you're someone who's given over to anger. 1 Timothy 2:3, verse 2. It says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober, minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. It says temperate. You know what that word temperate means? It means you control your temper. You don't lose your temper. So the Bible is saying here, when you're looking for someone to lead, when you're looking for someone for ministry, when you're looking for someone that's going to actually do something for God, it says make sure that this person can control their temper. Because if they can't control their temper, they've disqualified themselves. We see with the disciples are out preaching and people start mocking and saying things. And so the disciple says, let's call down fire from heaven like Elijah on them, Jesus. You know, you're outreaching, someone laughs or jokes. You're going to hell. But that wasn't said out of love. I'm just telling them. No. They were being mocked. And they said, Jesus, let's call down fire on these people, man. They're rejecting you, Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. He turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Jesus says, listen, I don't want that angry spirit infecting my ministry. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Can I say, is that the anger of man will always destroy. We see Peter when they're taking Jesus, and Peter brings out his sword and cuts off one of the soldier's ear, and Jesus puts his hand there and heals back the ear, because Jesus is saying, listen, I never came to destroy, I came to build and save. But anger, when you are given over to anger, you will be someone who will not build, you will destroy. The anger of man cannot build. It will only destroy. He says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Angry people are not righteous. Did you know that? Angry people are not righteous. Mean that you're not right with God. See, this is the issue here. Outbursts of anger, outbursts of wrath. If you're someone who you will allow outbursts of anger, the Bible says you are sinning. You are sinning. You are in sin. See, are we going to believe the Bible or not? Are we going to believe the Bible or not? Otherwise, you know, we're wasting our time. We're wasting, you know, why be here? The sun is out. It's a little bit left quickly, you know. It says, people that outburst of anger is sin. He says, you're not right with God. You're not righteous. Matthew 5, Jesus says, he that is angry with his brother without cause is in danger of judgment. Jesus says, he says that if you become angry without cause, angry over human error and different things, Jesus says you are in danger of judgment. The judgment is going to be on us. Galatians 5 verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. How many of fornicators cannot enter the kingdom of God? Did you know that? You look like you don't know that. Okay, let me stop here a bit, because if you don't know that, if you're having sex outside of marriage, the Bible says that you're not right with God. That's what the Bible says. You're not right with God. You need to repent, stop, and ask God for forgiveness. That's what the Bible says. I had to push that because it just seemed like, I'm not sure. Adultery. God says that's sin. Fornication is sin. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Idolatry. How many know you cannot be a Christian and bowing down to Buddha? You can't be a Christian and going, there's no Christian Muslim. You can't be going to no, you've got to be one or the other. You've got to be with the truth, and Jesus is the truth. And so we know idolatry, sorcery. How many can't be, you know, witch serving Jesus? In that list, it says murder, drunkenness. But in the middle of this list, in verse 20, after idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, look what you see there. Outbursts of wrath. Outbursts of anger. He says these are in the same list. And at the end he says, and of which I tell you before, just as also I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says that if you are given to outbursts of anger, you may say, yeah, well, you know, I'm not really doing that much bad things. Well, you know, I'm not as bad as Hitler. I'm not as bad as Stalin. I'm not as, yeah, that's good. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's a progress. But the Bible says, if you are someone who is given, if you are allowing, it says outbursts of anger are from the flesh. They are carnal. And it says you will not see the kingdom of God. Something about that is going to drive a wedge between you and God. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. He says, be angry. You can feel angry. How many have ever felt angry? I felt angry. But the Bible says, you can't use that as an excuse to sin. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And in the same chapter, Ephesians 4 verse 30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then he goes on to show us, by which we were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness. You know, there's a lot of bitter people out. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. You know what the Bible is saying here? It's saying that anger grieves the Holy Spirit. When you give yourself to anger and you outburst of anger, you are grieving God. So many times we want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. There's some people, you need the Holy Spirit. You can't serve God without the Holy Spirit. None of us can. We need that boldness. You want your family to get saved. You want friends to get saved. You need the Holy Spirit to come on you. You want God to use you and the anointing of God. Oh, I'm battling. I need help. I need God. The Bible says that through anger, we grieve the Holy Spirit. He's grieved. He's like, listen, I can't be here. I can't be here right now. I've got to move out of this place. Because the Bible says that when you are given over to anger, you make room for the devil. You make room for the devil through anger. Can I say, when the devil comes, he comes with all his entourage. Do you know the devil has an entourage? How many know what that is? Do you know what that is? Yeah? You don't know what it is? Put your hand out. You would never do that. Amen. One did. One honest soul. You come, you know, when you have a pop star and they travel around, they got the makeup people, the photograph people, these people, the devil comes, but his entourage is slightly different. See, when the devil comes, he comes with depression. And he comes with sickness. And he comes with doubt and fear. And he comes with strife and frustration and worry. See, this is the devil's entourage. He will come in. And listen, the devil's not fussy. The Bible says when you get angry, you make room for the devil. The devil will live in any room you give him. He's not fussy. Hey, you got a room, it's tiny. The devil will just go in there. It could be as small as a coffin. The devil will go in there. Just so that he can destroy you. How many know we don't want to grieve God? I want to draw closer to God. We sang that song, Wrap Me in Your Arms. Wrap me in your arms. What we're talking about is, we're not generally just saying, God, we want you to like hug us. We just want a big spiritual hug. What we're saying is we want to be close. That's what we're saying. God, we want to be close to you. Because we know we want to be in your presence. We want to be close to you, God. But imagine you're trying to get close to somebody, but then you're doing everything to push them away. Imagine you're like, God, where are you? I want to be close to you. Oh, Lord, help me. And you're doing everything to push them away. All your efforts coming to church, all your efforts of prayer, all your efforts of everything, but you're pushing them away. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of a fool. It says, do not be quick to be angry. If you're someone that just gets angry quick. You ever met someone like that? They just get angry quick. Maybe, you know, no, anyway. Proverbs 14, 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. What these two scriptures are saying, if you're someone who gets angry quickly, the Bible says you're a fool. You're a fool. What does this mean to get angry quick? What does the Bible say? Be slow to anger. The Bible saying is that when anger is not controlled, when you cannot control your anger, this is when, what it means is your anger is out of control. See, if you're in control, you can control the speed of something. But what the Bible is saying is that there are people that they cannot control their anger. On the job, people get angry on the job. You ever work with someone, you just never know, they're going to explode one minute, it's like, psh. You know, some people get angry, it's like, okay, they're getting angry, and they're getting a bit more angry, they've gone from 1, 2, 3, 4, 7... 10, okay, they're really angry now, and you can see them getting angry. Some people, they don't have a knob like that with numbers on it. They just have a switch. On, off. You ever made that? On, off. Like I'm... just on, off. That's how they are. The Bible says they're a fool. You ever work with a fool like that? You ever lived in a home with someone like that? Where you're living in a home with someone who's just angry? Do you get angry on your job? Just like that? At your home? With your family? You're out of control. What about on the pitch? What about on the football pitch? Do you get angry just like that? Can you control your anger at work? Can you control your anger at home? Can you control your anger on the pitch? See, the Bible says if you're quick to get angry, you're someone who's out of control. And if you're out of control, what the Bible is saying is that you are not spiritual. Simple as that. If you are out of control, you cannot say that you are someone who is a spiritual person. And let me just clarify this. The Bible says that we are all meant to be spiritual. If you are a Christian, you should be excelling to be a spiritual person. That's what you should be doing. If you are a Christian, you should be excelling to be spiritual. And if you are someone that cannot control your temper, that means you're out of control. That means you're not spiritual. Simple. Remember what we read in Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh. He says, this is evidence that you are someone who's not spiritual. Outbursts of anger. If you are someone that has outbursts of anger, you cannot control it. Driving, someone cuts you up. Whoa! Ah! Ah! You're not spiritual. The word that we know the Bible says is the word carnal. Say carnal with me.
Carnal.
Say again, carnal.
Yeah.
That word carnal is basically saying that, or when you hear that word, if someone addresses an issue in your life or an issue and says, look, that's carnal, how many of them are not paying you a compliment? What that means is that you are fleshy. The Bible says that carnality cannot bring forth life. If you bring a carnal person into any situation, anything, they're going to bring death into it. You start a business with a carnal person many times. You've got God giving you, it's going to... A ministry, you bring a carnal person into it, they're going to bring their death into it. You marry a carnal person. You have carnal friends. The Bible says carnal people cannot produce God's blessing. They cannot produce God's blessing. You can pretend for a little while. How many heard about the story? I don't know if I mentioned it before. About the lady that there's a Chinese couple. I think they were Chinese. And they had a baby. And the husband said, "Ah, the baby's ugly. Why is this baby so ugly? I'm good looking. You're good looking. Why is the baby ugly?" Now, how many know he's jacked up anyway? But mate, I thought everybody thought their baby was beautiful. You need to see some babies. Anyway, not here. Amen. Not here. All the babies here are beautiful. I love them. I love them. But anyway, so he has this baby and he's saying this baby's ugly. How come this baby's ugly? You're beautiful, I'm handsome. This baby's ugly. And what they found out is that the wife had plastic surgery. And so that baby actually did look like the wife. And so she had changed her facial features. But how many know it's in her DNA? It's what she is. That's what she's going to produce. Recently, we were talking to the ladies about starting some reading groups. But the situation is this, sister, what is in you? Because maybe when you come to church, you've done some plastic surgery. And you come into church, praise God, hallelujah. And so we think, yeah, woman of God. But under the surface, there's carnality. And that carnality is going to bring forth something which is ugly.
See, I don't care what you know. I don't care what position you hold. I don't care what you've achieved in your life. I don't care if you've planted churches and you could be the leader of everybody. If you are carnal, you are carnal. And if you cannot control your anger, you are carnal. Listen, church, if I can't control my anger, I'm carnal. Doesn't matter what I achieve. Doesn't matter where I go in the world and preach. Doesn't matter what I do. If I cannot control my anger, I'm carnal. I cannot flash my credentials. Oh, do you know how long I've been saved? Oh, do you know what I've achieved? Do you know I've been around the world? I've preached. Do you know what I pioneered? Do you know I've started this ministry? Listen, if I cannot control my temper, I'm carnal. That's the reality. He said the evidence is this outburst of anger. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. He says, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinthians. Read it before, but it's a wonderful text for us to meditate on. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? What the Bible is saying is carnal people are just big babies in Christ. You ever use that terminology to someone? You're just like a big baby, man. Grow up. You ever use that? Like they're behaving like a big baby. Have you ever seen a midget? Someone who's a midget. They're tiny, but they're old. And so basically, you think, oh, they should be taller than they are. There are spiritual midgets. Spiritual midgets. Something's not right. Paul says this. He says, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. If you are carnal, we cannot speak to you. Did you know that? You cannot reason with a carnal person. Cannot reason with them. By now, we're not talking about a new convert. We're not talking about someone who's been saved 6 months, maybe a year. We're not talking about that. We're talking about someone who's been saved longer. Someone that should be further than they are. That's what a carnal person is. That's what a carnal person is. Someone that should have been further than they are. We all have new convert madness. And yet we're going to deal with you. If you're a new convert here and you're doing a madness, we're going to kindly, lovingly say, yes. We don't do that here, bro. No, that's not what it's about. Look, and we'll show you from the Bible and you get with the program. But a carnal person, the Bible says he's like a baby. A baby you can't really speak to. I remember one time we was having some, I can't remember where we were, but someone was there and we was talking and there was a baby and the baby just farted. The baby just let off. Just eased. Just released. I mean, you can't. Hey, come on, man. This ain't the place for that, you know. Come on, you should be ashamed of yourself, man. How many of you can't say that to the baby? It's a baby. He said, we could not speak to you because you are a baby, a spiritual baby. It's like if you're carnal, you cannot be. You cannot reason with a carnal person. You cannot speak to them. You try and try and try and try. But they just, it's like, I can't speak to you on a deep level. He says, I had to give you milk because you couldn't eat solid food. How many of babies can't eat burgers and steak? You have to just blend everything up and just give them milk. They're not ready for solid food. A spiritual baby, a carnal person, you've been saved a while, but you're still carnal. You're still a spiritual infant. We can't give you deep things. You can't hold deep truth. Really, all you can do with a baby, you take care of a baby. A baby sits there and cries and poos and you change its nappy and it sits itself and you rock it and you do that. But you can't, you know, you just got to wait for the baby to grow up. And the same thing as with carnal people, we can't do nothing with you. We've just basically got to put you in a corner, put you in a high chair, let you sit so you don't harm yourself, you don't harm anybody else. You'll sit there, you'll cry, you'll poo. Now and again we'll change a nappy, we'll wipe the top, and we have to leave you there and say, God, help them. Help them, let them repent, let them understand, listen, I need to change. You know what the carnal person will always say when they get angry? They'll give you an excuse. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. You ever heard that one? Yeah, but if you was there, Pastor, this is what he did. This is what they said. It's only natural to get angry. How many know it's only natural when someone does something wrong to us? It's only natural for us to get angry. And that's our excuse many times. But Paul says this at the end of what we read. He says, for you are carnal. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behaving like mere men. And behaving like mere men. And behaving like mere men. Aren't we mere men though? Aren't we humans? Are we? No, what he's saying here is that many times people are making excuses and they're saying, don't expect from me any more than someone who's not saved. Someone who doesn't know Christ, someone who's without God, who hasn't been regenerated yet. And so here you have a man who's not saved, he's not born again, and if you slap him in the face, if you insult him, if you say things to him, he's going to get angry. He's going, what? Don't you do that to me. Hey, you don't know who I am. I'll deal with you. And this is an unsaved man. We would expect that because here is an unregenerated, unsaved man who needs Christ, he's on his way to hell. But here was someone who's saved. And the same things are happening. And many times what we say is, don't expect from me any different than you get from that. Because you're carnal. Because he says you behave like people that are not saved. You respond and react exactly as the unsaved. See, what you see is there's an unsaved man. He'll do whatever he wants to do. Before I was saved, I'd get angry like that. I would get angry as quick as you could flick a switch. I'm going to get angry. Then there is a saved person, but they are still carnal. And really, there's not much difference. And then you have someone who is saved, born again. And this person who is saved, born again, is totally different. See, this is what God is looking for. God is not looking for chair warmers. God is not looking for church attenders. God is looking for saved people. Saved people. That when you do the same to the people in the world, saved people respond different. They respond totally different. And Paul says, you're carnal. You know why we know you're carnal? You behave exactly as an unsaved person. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what they said to me. Ain't no one going to treat me like that. Hey, if you say that to me again, yeah, see what happens to you. You're carnal. Because that's exactly what unsaved people would say. You're carnal. You're not spiritual. You're a baby. And a baby has to sit down and learn. You cannot use a baby. A baby cannot teach. You cannot teach me nothing. Listen, if you can't control your temper, you cannot teach me nothing. I don't care how good you preach, how much Bible you know. Sister, I don't care what you know and what you don't know. If you haven't got a good temper, if you cannot control your temper, you cannot teach no woman nothing in this church. Nothing. Because you are carnal. That's what the Bible says. When things get out of control, you gotta work to get things back into control. I remember when we went home and I spoke about the fire many times. The fire in our house was out of control. It's not good me going in there trying to fight that fire. We had to call the fire brigade. It was out of control. And there are some people here, your anger is out of control. You're out of control. You're out of control. I remember being a year saved. I was speaking to my wife before the service. I was a year saved. I was just a new convert. But I had a bad temper. Bad temper. And I remember being somewhere and someone just wound me up and I just smashed something. Just lashed out like a child. Now I think of it, I was like, what a baby, man. But I just lashed out with that, like a child, and just smashed. And whenever I would get into an argument, I would just break things, like throw things and smash things. And it was like, it's like I want to do it to you, but I'm going to do it to this. I remember being in work one time and somebody, I'd asked one of the colleagues not to swear, and they went into like a side corner. This woman went into a side corner of the office and she said, who does he think he's talking to? Flipped like a switch. She was talking to this guy. I went and offered them out. Like, offered the guy, look, let's go. Hold up, you've just told them, I'm a Christian, please don't swear, and now you've gone around the corner and said you want to fight them. You know what? I came to the place where I said, you know what? This thing is out of control. This thing is out of control. If I don't get this under control, this is going to destroy me. People in the church would say, listen, it's like you get angry so quick, man. It's like you can't take pressure. If you get into pressure, it's like something happens to you. I'd be doing something didn't work. Well, I forget it. I'm not doing it. Nope. But we've spent time on this. We've almost completed this. I'd be like, forget it. I don't care. Keep it. Smash it. Because of my anger. But I had to come to a place and make a decision and say, this thing is out of control. I've got to get it in control. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's what he says. He says, part of the work of the Spirit of God is to give you self-control back. If you've got the Holy Spirit, if you're walking with God, God wants to give you back your self-control. That we should be a people that are so pragmatic. We can look at our lives and say, should we do that? No. We're under control. The Christian should be so under control that we just choose our life, choose our path, choose God. See, before we knew Christ, we were out of control. The devil had a hook in us and he would pull us to the rave, to the club, to the bed of fornication, to the drugs, to the guys, to the girls, to this and to that. The devil would pull you. And if you're in this place and you're not saved, and I understand, and I don't hate you, I'm not angry with you, I'm saying that's just the way it is. I was there for 22 years. But when I got saved, something happened to me. And when I got the Holy Ghost, something more happened to me, and I'm telling you, God has given me control back. He's given me the control back. The Spirit of God has enhanced my tolerance. The Bible speaks about being long-suffering. You know, there's been times when I've got so angry. Since you know, even since I've been a pastor, some things have angered me. I've just felt like I've gone angry, and then the Holy Spirit has just touched me. And I'm like, I'm not angry. Like, I'm angry, but I'm not. I don't feel like reacting. It's like God has come and he's controlled me. His Spirit has come, and it sounds funny, I know, it's like he sat on me. You know, like if someone gets really angry, they're going, and it's like you just sit on them, you just put your hand, there you go, put them on. It's like God has just got me. That is what it means to be full of the Spirit. There's times I've said to my wife, listen, I would have blown my top if they said that to me. But God, I said, God just stopped. Like, before I was even going to say something, I'm like, who are you? I didn't even say it. It's like, you know what? It's not even about that. Let's focus on what God wants us to do. It's more of the Holy Spirit, church. You know when something is dry? If you have something dry, like dry branches, it's all dried, and then you start to bend it, what does it do? It snaps. But if you have something which is supple, or lubricated, or oiled, or it has life in it, you can bend it, and it doesn't snap. See, when you're dry and there's no spirit on you, you're going to snap, and you keep snapping. You keep snapping. You have your pressure. Don't get me. And you try, and you last for a day or for 2 days or for an hour, and you got your point. I've lost it. I'm doing really well. I'm going angry. And then, bam! And then you unleash. But what God wants you to do is to be supple. Is that you don't break. And the pressure can be on you and be on you and be on you. But you don't break. You don't break. You know, they said that this is the thing why palm trees survive tornadoes. We know whenever you go to the Caribbean, there's palm trees, is always there. He said, you know why? Because the palm tree is flexible. The palm tree just blows with the wind. The hurricane comes, the palm tree just blows right over and comes right back again. But there's trees that, no, I'm not moving for nobody. Yeah? Psh. You get uprooted and you blow away. You got to be flexible, church. I'm not going to tell you tonight, we're going to close. But I'm not going to tell you to try harder. I'm not going to tell you to try harder. Because you cannot fix a carnal problem with a carnal tool. Let me. I just gave some of you doctrine there and it went over your head because you're more worried about it. Anyway, you cannot fix a carnal problem with a carnal tool. Prove it. I will. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know what anger in some of you is a stronghold? Some of you here, anger is a stronghold. It's a stronghold. And you know some of the people that anger is a stronghold? Many of us would never even know it's their stronghold because they look so nice. But if you get them angry, you get them angry. Because we ain't never seen them angry. But you know who you are. God says he wants to give you a spiritual weapon which is mighty through God to pull down that stronghold. Three things. First thing, the spirit is going to start where your flesh will end. The spirit is going to start where your flesh is going to end. What do I mean by that? When you come to the end of yourself. Do you know why some of you here accomplish very little? It's because you think you can accomplish a lot. A long time ago, I came to the end of myself. I know what Courtney can achieve, and it's pitiful. I know what Courtney can do, it's pitiful. Have you come to the end of yourself yet? Have you come to the point where you realize, I can't do this? God is waiting for you to come to the end of yourself. We see in the Bible that Peter is a man who is, you know, he's just ready to kick off. He's always saying things and doing things. He just no thought, just doing and say, and he's the guy that cuts off the ear. And we can see him as a guy that has a problem. And Jesus says to him, listen, you're going to deny me. I'll never deny you. Hold up. If Jesus says, listen, listen, you know, when Jesus says something, you need to listen. He denied. You know why? He has confidence. He's still got confidence in himself. Still got confidence. He can do that. And some of you here, you're trying to do life by your own strength. and you're getting frustrated. You're trying to do all different things by yourself. You're trying to do a family by yourself. You're trying to do career by yourself. You're trying to do marriage by yourself. You're trying to build a home by yourself. Can I say to you today, you've got to come to the end of yourself and say, God, I cannot do this no more. And then you are broken at the end of yourself. See, if you're here today and you're just listening, whatever, listen. You need to come to a place of tears. The Bible says after Peter went out and wept bitterly, something changed in the man. Something changed. Have you been grieved in your heart? Have you ever wept before God? I said, God, change me. I must change. I'll do anything to change. Have you come to the end of yourself yet? Because until you come to the end of yourself, the Spirit will not start. The Spirit will not start His work because there's still you in you. God wants to empty you out so He can fill you with Him. Yes. Then He gets the glory. He's the one that's going to do it. When you get to the end of yourself, you don't care what people think of you. You know why people find it so hard to minister sometimes? Because they're more cared about what they look like. You say, look, minister, do it. Yeah, they want to look cool. Listen, come to the end of yourself. Come to the end of yourself. See, when you're at the end of yourself, you're just like, I've got a problem. It's wrong. I shouldn't do this. This is sin. I'm going to stop. Show us the fruit of repentance. Sorry is not the fruit of repentance. Humility is the fruit of repentance. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Second thing, I believe some of you here, you have a stronghold of anger. You need God to heal you. I believe there are some people here, the reason why you're so angry is because you've been hurt and you're bitter. The reason why there's a problem with anger is because you've been hurt and you're bitter. You've been hurt, you've been let down. You know, we live in a day and age where there are so many angry men around. Angry young men, I see them all the time. Angry young men walking. So angry for? Because they grow up, feel like no one wants them. Dad's not around. Society's branded them. I was thinking to myself, why was I such an angry man? Why was I so angry? Why was I so... Because I was still bitter. And as some of you here, listen, for you to get over the anger, you got to forgive some people. Whether they will apologize or not, whether they will admit it or not, you've got to forgive them and let them go. Listen, that bitterness is the root of your anger. That bitterness in your life, there's bitterness. You've been hurt, you've been let down, you've been violated. That bitterness is the root of your anger. You've got to come and say, God, heal me. Heal me right now. God, I don't want to be like this no more. I don't want this to carry on. Because if you don't deal with it, soon you'll get married and then it's going to follow you into marriage. And then soon you're going to have children and it's going to follow you into your children. And then lo and behold, they grow up angry. And the curse just keeps going and going and going. But what God wants to do today is He wants to stop the curse. He wants to stop the curse. You need to come to the end of yourself. You need to say, God, I need you to heal me. I'm going to forgive those that have hurt me, and I want you to forgive me for my anger. Heal me. That's what he said in Ephesians. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. You know why? Because all those things are connected. He started with bitterness, wrath, anger. Once a bitter person is given over to wrath and anger, they're going to make clamor and start to say bad things. Simple as that. If we deal with the bitterness, God can heal you. We can deal with the anger, and no longer are you speaking those wicked things. The last thing, when I was looking into the issue of the palm trees, they said it's something to do with their root system. They've got a good root system that enables them to stay where they're planted, but it's like flexible. And I was thinking, you know what? When you read Ephesians 4, this is where it speaks about anger and the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, the whole context is talking about the body of Christ. And I really believe that if you want to deal with your anger, you've got to deal with your root system. You've got to be rooted in the body of Christ. Lone rangers don't make it for Jesus. Let me repeat that. Lone rangers don't make it for Jesus. You won't make it as a lone ranger. God has given you a church. Is this church perfect? Not at all. I know it's not perfect. I'm not perfect, so how can it be perfect? But this is the church that God has given you. And it's about you networking in the church and building righteous relationships with people. This is what's going to help you, man. This is the thing that's going to minister to you and help you. If you do not do that, you will not learn. See, Christ is looking. He says, you know what? It's how you treat the church. The Holy Spirit wants to flow through you to help you and heal you, but to flow through you to meet someone else's need. And if you're not willing to meet someone else's need, then the Holy Spirit says, well, there's no point in me flowing through you. There's no use building a pipe for nothing to go through it. You only build a pipe because something will flow through it. If you will make yourself and say, you know what? I want to be knitted here. I'm going to rub shoulders with people here. I'm going to be like Christ here. Bring me, knit me into your body. Can I say to you, something happens, something changes. Something changes. We need to get this thing under control, church. We need to get this thing under control. Because it's a sin. Be slow to wrath. Because the anger of man cannot produce the righteousness of God. Amen.